This morning I'd like to draw your attention to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. I'll begin my reading at verse number 29. I would invite you to stand with me if you're able to as we read from this passage of Scripture and take a moment to pray, ask God to help us in this time. John chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. Skip a few verses down to verse number 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Our Heavenly Father, we stand in desperate need of your help this morning. I pray that you would hide the human as much as possible and allow the divine to be seen, to be felt, and to be heard in this message this morning. You know our hearts, you know our need, and I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to have right of way with unction and anointing, not only for the speaker, but also for our hearers, our ears, our heart, to be receptive to your word and to your voice. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Few of us, if any of us at all, will ever have the feeling or have a feeling of having just one moment in time. The feeling of the very reason why we are here to suddenly culminate in one particular moment. If there ever was a person, I suppose that John the Baptist would be one who experienced that feeling. For it seems like he came to perform one deed and to make one declaration. The deed that John the Baptist came to perform was that of baptizing Jesus. And the declaration that he came to declare was, Behold, the Lamb of God. Perhaps you've heard the story of Charles Spurgeon, I believe it was, that was in London, supposed to be holding a series of meetings or a campaign of meetings at the Agricultural Center. At that time, it would seat somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 people. Before the days of PA systems, I don't know how they did it all, but they used those big acoustic bars and panels. And so as everyone was in their place working, setting the place up for him to be heard, they asked him to step behind the podium and to see if they had the adjustments made. And he stepped to that podium that day and he declared the words of the text, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The story goes on to say that somebody high in the rafters heard the ringing voice of Mr. Spurgeon and began his descent down to the floor and made his way to Mr. Spurgeon and said, Sir, tell me more of this Lamb of God. There's a lot of things that we can look at about the Lamb of God. We will notice if we go back into the history book of the Old Testament, we'll find that beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that the words begin to unfold to us of the prophetic nature of the coming of the Lamb of God. We'll find it on through the book of Genesis, even to the time in the life of Abraham, when Abraham was on his journey to Mount Moriah with his son. What an incredible story. Those of us that are fathers, and I'm sure that mothers can some way place themselves in that same predicament, but Abraham was on his way to sacrifice his son, and his son looked up at him and said, "Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but what about the sacrifice?" And whether or not Abraham fully understood the prophetic nature of his words in response to his son, he was still prophesying of the Lamb of God that would come when he said to Isaac, "The Lord will provide himself a lamb." We go into the Psalms. The Psalms are saturated with words of prophecy regarding the coming of the Lamb. We go into the prophets, and it's still among the prophets, the prophetic words that are written from time to time in regards to this Lamb that was yet to come. You see, Christ was not here for just some trivial purpose. He wasn't just here on vacation from heaven, curious about the front line of the battle, but he was here to perform a particular deed. He didn't come necessarily to see what was going on in relationship to good and evil. He was here on a mission, on a purpose. And in some of the words of the text that has been read this morning, we find that there is a work that he came to perform, a work that he came to do. I want to notice in the next little while that work, the work of the Lamb of God. It signifies work. When it tells us, when John the Baptist declared those words, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away." It was a work that needed to be accomplished. It was a work that God had said was to take place for a number of years, a number of centuries had passed. And that work was laid upon the shoulders of this particular man, Jesus Christ, who we know and John declared as the Lamb of God. First thing I want to notice about the work of Christ, the work that he came to do, we can go back into his childhood, back into Luke chapter 2, verse 49, where we will find the text unfolding there, the story to come to us of Joseph and Mary taking Jesus to Jerusalem for the very first time. It was an incredible story, and I'm sure that Christ was fully saturated with all that was taking place, all that was going on. But somehow, in the midst of that time, Joseph and Mary became so involved with everything that they failed to make sure that he was with them for their return trip. Jesus stayed behind. They assumed that he was with somebody else, one of the family. After some time of travel, they realized that Jesus was not with them, and so they returned and found him in the temple, talking to the doctors and the lawyers of the day. And as they questioned him as to about what was taking place, Jesus laid out before them and before us that he came to perform a work, and the first aspect of that work that he came to perform was, "I must be about my Father's business." We could summarize that perhaps in a little different way of wording in saying that he came for one purpose, and that was the purpose of doing the will of his Father. Simply put, he was going to do God's will. Whatever that unfolded, whatever that involved over the next 3.5 years or the following 3.5 years of his actual earthly ministry, his purpose, his work was to do the will of the Father. We quickly can move on to the second aspect of his work. He came to fulfill the demand of the sacrifice. That's not hard for you and I to understand, as we have the privilege of having the Scripture. We know that that was why he came. His purpose in life was to fulfill the demands of the sacrifice. We talked a little bit about it in the Sunday school class downstairs. just a scratching of the surface. The demand of the sacrifice. Do you remember all that took place in the Old Testament sacrifices? All of the rules, all the rituals, all the forms, the ceremonies. It had to be all done a certain way, and it was a costly way. Providing all the animals, the bullocks, the rams, the lambs, and everything that was involved, it was quite the system. But the work of the Lamb was to fulfill the demands. Where the blood of bulls and of lambs was not able to wash away sins, they were only used as a figure of some Lamb that was yet to come, that would be able to completely wash away the stain of sin. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He came, His work was to fulfill the demand of the sacrifice. Not just the sacrifices of the past or the sin of the past, but He came to fulfill the sacrifice for the sin of the present. He came to fulfill the sacrifice of the sin of the future. One Lamb, one death, one time for all men, for all time. I have to tell you, that's something for you and I to get excited about when we look in the Levitical law and understand all that was to take place and all that had to happen, and for us to realize that all that we have to do is come before Him as He told Nicodemus, repent, be converted, turn from your sinful way, have a change of heart, confess your sins. As 1 John 1:9 would tell us, that if we would confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I believe it was the key verse in the Sunday school lesson, that all power was given unto Him. Perhaps I'm messing up there a little bit, but it was something along that line somewhere involved in the lesson this morning. All power, and including in that power is the forgiveness of sins. For you see, the work of the Lamb was that He came and purposed as He came to fulfill the demands of the sacrifice so that we could be set free. Somebody said that the blood of the Lamb clears our souls from judgment. It gives us entrance into heavenly bliss. It's not by our own abilities, but it's by the blood of the sacrifice. Now, I don't know all of your abilities this morning, but I can just look at myself and realize that if it was based upon my ability, I wouldn't have any access to forgiveness. I wouldn't have any access to the blood of the Lamb. The sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Lamb of our Heavenly Father. So we've seen so far the work of the Lamb is to do the will of the Father and to fulfill the demand of the sacrifice. But also, as we look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we'll understand that the purpose and the work of the Lamb was to bring about the demise of sin. The demise of sin. Not just a covering of sin, but the complete demise, the end of sin in our lives. 1 John 3:8 tells us, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. There's getting close to shouting grounds right there. That He might destroy the works of the devil. When the sinner comes to Christ with all of his sin and with all of his guilt, and he looks upon the Lamb of God, beholds the Lamb, he finds that he has the possibility, through the blood of Jesus Christ, to have his slate wiped clean. Now, I suppose that little cliche comes from the old times in the one-room schoolhouse, when they had to do all their schoolwork on the little piece of slate, and it came to the end of the day, and they would wipe it clean, and it was all gone. Everything was gone. The trace of it was washed away at the end of the day. Well, when we come to Jesus Christ, we come with the booklet of the slate of our lives, and we have the opportunity to plunge it at the foot of the cross, in the foot of the fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ, and have the slate completely washed clean, so that the sin that we once committed, the sin that we once had been a part of, was now cast into the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore.
You say, oh, now wait a minute. There's times that I remember the things that I did. There's times that I'm recollecting those things that are such a shame to me now. Well, just remember that that's not the blood of Jesus Christ that is holding it over your head. Someone wrote the words of the song that blesses my heart every time I think of it, I believe. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they have been washed out. What sins are you talking about? For you see, the work of the Lamb was and is that He would come to destroy or to bring about the demise of sin, the destruction of sin within our lives. Have you beholden Him this morning? Have you beheld Him this morning? You say, well, what is that load of, or what is that sin that He's come to take away? He's come to take away the load of sin. Bring about the demise of the destruction of sin would be the load of sin that once I carried is gone. You could also say that part of the sin that He wants to bring about a demise in your life or in our life would be the weariness of sin. How many of you have found that sin was a wearisome way? It was a hard taskmaster. It was a miserable way. Perhaps it brought you to the point where you had sickness, an actual sickness of sin, where you were sick of all that the life you had been living and was involved with brought about an actual sickness within you. I can remember people testifying of that very thing. It brought them to the place that they couldn't stand themselves. They couldn't stand anybody else. And they couldn't stand to live, but yet they were afraid to die. There was something about the miserableness of sin and the sickness of sin that brought them to the place that they could yield themselves to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we fail to remember in this particular aspect, but not only did Jesus come to take away the sin of the world in that sense that we've talked about, the load, the weariness, the heaviness, the miserableness, but He also came to take away the penalty. The wages of sin is death. We know that verse. We've memorized it from our youth up. Earliest recollections for those of us that have been born and raised in the church, we can remember saying that verse in Sunday school class or in VBS or in camp meetings. We've memorized that verse from our youth up. But do we understand what the penalty of sin is? The wages of sin is death. I don't have time to go into it this morning, but it's where the wrath of God is poured out on those that have failed to plunge into the fountain. Speaking again of the Sunday school lesson this morning, Jesus was figuratively cursing the fig tree because of the sin of the nation of Israel. And over again through the Old Testament passages, we will find that as they turned from God, there was the cursing that came and the destruction that came, and there was also captivity. And yet when they turned to God, when they followed after Him, when they gave Him themselves wholly to follow after Him, we will find time and time again that God was merciful and extended His grace and His love to them. The penalty of sin is gone because of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. We notice that these things, these three points that have already been mentioned, have already been fulfilled. He came, He lived, He died, He rose again. He ascended to the throne of the Father. Where He sits even now, this morning, looking down upon us, I believe, as He allows the Holy Spirit to come and go and flow among us, He's watching and He's looking. But He performed the will of the Father. The reason why He came, that's all been fulfilled. That's all been completed. He came as part of His work to fulfill the demand of the sacrifice. That too has been completed. It's been finalized.
The blood of that sacrifice was taken back to heaven and poured out at the mercy seat of God the Father. And from the blood of that sacrifice, we can hear the voice of Jesus Christ interceding for me and interceding for you. It's completed. The prospects of the demise of sin in an individual's life has already been completed. We now have the opportunity to plunge in, to allow it to take effect in our own individual lives. Or we can turn our back on the flow, we can turn our back on the flood, we can turn our back on the blood of Jesus Christ and not allow it to be efficacious for us or effective for our need. But there's one more aspect of the work of the Lamb of God that has yet to be fulfilled in its entirety. It's found over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. It's an exciting passage. Although some people, when they read the book of Revelation, they don't find too much excitement, they only find fear. But in this passage, I don't know how anybody could find any fear within Revelation chapter 2 or chapter number 20 and verse number 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now that's pretty exciting words right there. The binding of Satan is yet to take place. We don't know exactly when that's going to happen. I know that some people have in their mind and they're thinking that it's already done. I don't know. I'm not real sure about all of those things, but I would tend to believe that it's not quite taken place as of yet. But it's still some pretty exciting times. It's nothing to be fearful about right there, especially if you're on God's side. That the enemy of our soul is going to be bound for 1,000 years. What an exciting time, but it's not the end of it. In verse number 3, he said that he cast him into the bottomless pit. And here's three words that really ought to stir us into a time of rejoicing, if none other than right down in our heart. And he shut him up. Playing volleyball, I have to bring in volleyball. We were playing volleyball last night, and there's somebody on the opposing team, on the opposite team that I was on, and he was running his mouth. And somebody said that we'd probably do better if he'd just be quiet. It didn't work. He kept running his mouth. And sometimes we think, devil, why don't you just shut your mouth? Why don't you just quit hounding us? We look around us and we think that the enemy is just wreaking havoc among people. I'm sure that those that go to the jails, they see it. They see it on a consistent basis. We don't have to go very far to think and to realize that the devil is having a heyday among people today. But there's coming a time. Yes, there's coming a time when the blood of the Lamb is going to bind the enemy of our soul, and it tells us here in verse number 3, and shut him up. No more lies being told. No more words being expressed telling our young people that it's better to go this way, or it's okay to do this, or it's okay to do that, or you can just slide by. You can get by the figurative the skin of your teeth. You can just skim your way into heaven. You don't really have to work for the job. You don't have to work at the task. No more lies. No more temptations. Praise God. No more words of accusation to the brethren. Has he ever accused you this morning? Probably just this morning some have been accused. Go to the Lord in prayer, and somehow the devil realizes that you're in prayer, you're trying to seek God's face for the service and for the day and for the needs around us, and somewhere along the line some little element crawls up onto the shoulder and speaks into the ear some kind of accusation. God's not listening to you because you've done such and such. Oh, but devil, that's under the blood, and it's removed from his remembrance. Praise God.
Oh, I know we have the privilege of rebuking the devil in that way, but there's still the accuser of the brethren. He's going to be shut up. He's going to have his mouth closed. Some people go through discouragements. Well, there won't be any discouragements when his mouth is shut. There won't be any guilt because his mouth is shut. And behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, the work that he came to do, that is expressed in those words, taketh away. The work that he came to do was the will of the Father, the fulfillment of the demand of the sacrifice, of the requirement for sin, and to bring about the demise of sin in my life and in your life, and ultimately to bring Satan to an ultimate defeat. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who is holding off his work in your life. I believe that his work is real. I believe that he did those things that you're talking about. I'm just not ready to accept it. Let me remind you this morning, as John the Baptist declares, "Behold the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of the requirement for sin has been fulfilled for you." Even though you have not availed yourself to it, to bring sin to its death in your own life, he has the fulfillment waiting for you. Or perhaps there's someone here this morning who has struggled, who has been a little bit despondent, or has been a little bit discouraged, or who has fought the fight this week or this month with the enemy in the area of discouragement, or fought the complex battles of the mind where he comes in like a flood and tries to pick and to destroy within the work that has taken place. But let me remind you, behold the Lamb of God. If we behold Him, if we hold Him up, if we lift Him up, He will draw all men to Himself. He will help us. I ask you to stand in closing this morning.